Well.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show this morning at Faces of Success Radio, and I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I don't know about you, but I have my tea here. Last week I had my coffee. This week I have some tea and some water. I need the tea so I can calm down from all the stuff that's going on out there in St. Louis, Missouri, and Ferguson. It is something else. And even though today's topic is about cancer, we're going to be talking about ovarian cancer for the first hour from 9 to 10, and in the second hour, the first hour we'll be talking about ovarian cancer, and we're going to have our special guest, Ms. Wena Ho from New York. She'll be calling in from New York. And then our second half of the show, we'll have Freddie Muse Jr., which is from 10 to 11, about prostate cancer. So we'll be talking about cancer, but I can't help because I've gotten so many phone calls this week about everything that's going on across the United States, not just in St. Louis, Missouri, but also the young man that was mentally retarded that was beat up by the police officer because he saw something in his waistband, which happened to be a colostomy bag. What was he doing looking down there anyway? Why didn't he ask the mother what to do? No, he just beat the mentally retarded young man up, and that's police brutality. I just can't help but chime out this morning about this really serious incident. If you look over in St. Louis, Missouri right now, people are still, they're actually, I call it a riot. It's civil unrest. And so this morning they called out the National Guards. I've been talking to different people about this. I've been getting emails about it. I've been getting Facebooked about it. I've been getting tweeted about it. what it's going to take is we're going to need our President Barack Obama to jump on the airplane and fly on down there and talk to the people out there in St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, that's what we need. We need our President, Barack Obama, to go on down there. And I love our president. He's doing a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that he actually spoke out about what's going on right now. I'm really glad that he did. And he's going to address it again today on the news. But like I said, I've been getting calls from across the United States. I've been getting emails with clips from different police brutality across the United States, not just in Los Angeles where they shot and killed the young man off of Florence over there, but also we've just had a lot going on. And what we're going to do is we're going to be right back. I just wanted to play this song for you before we get started with our show because I think it's a song that we all need to hear. And so remember, you're right now, right this very second, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. And I want to say to all my Dorsey Don friends out there, hello, how you doing? To all my friends out there, how are you? You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and we are live. And here's a song by Earth, Wind, & Fire that I want you to listen to. We'll be right back. All right, you are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and I had to start the show off. I've been so concerned about what's going on over there in St. Louis, Missouri. It's just been really, really something else, and I just wanted to touch on that. So they're doing an independent autopsy on Michael Brown. They found out that he was shot six times. Yeah, he was shot six times, two times in the head, and this is like we don't want civil unrest, but you have to stand up for your rights. You have to stand up for what you believe in. But we can do it with documentation. We can do it with legislation. We can do it by a lot of different ways. We don't have to do it in a bad way. We got to do it in a positive way. So our show today, God bless that situation. Our show today is definitely about what's going on over across the United States of America, the police brutality. The police brutality is completely out of hand. It is so out of hand. It's really out of hand. And I'm just praying for it right now. So let's get back to what we're supposed to be talking about this morning. We're talking about ovarian cancer, and we have a very special guest, and then our second part is about prostate cancer. So without further ado, I hope everybody's out there is doing fine. I hope you're listening to the show. I hope you're enjoying the show this morning. And I just wanted to touch on a little bit about Michael Brown and all the other police brutality that's going on across the United States. But without further ado, we're going to talk to a wonderful young lady from New York. The name of her organization is Ella Booz Angels, and we're going to be talking about ovarian cancer. So without further ado, let's bring on Ms. Sweeney Holt, all the way from New York. Hello, Ms. Sweeney Holt, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing? How you been?
All right. I'm doing fine. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to have you on all the way from New York. How's the weather out there?
It's, you know what? I like the weather like this. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just right. It's perfect. It's really good.
And what part of New York? What part of New York are you in?
I'm calling from the Bronx. Boogie Down Bronx.
Wow. Oh wow! And you know, before we get on our super topic about ovarian cancer, which is what this show is really all about, I just wanted to ask you how is the mood out in New York when it comes to what's happening with Michael Brown, the young man that was shot and killed in St. Louis, Missouri? How's the air out there?
Well, you know what I can truly say. I'm originally from Los Angeles, and being in New York is truly an experience because the young brothers and sisters, I absolutely love how they conduct themselves. I know everyone's seen it on the news, but they had a protest on Times Square, and it's just so motivating how the young people in New York handle themselves. I don't live too far from Harlem, and it's so moving, so how they conduct themselves, and that's how it should be, you know. You get more when you're able to express yourself in a more calmer matter, because people will listen to you more.
I could not agree with you more. And you know, it's amazing because I just read the article about the young man in New York who was choked out by the New York police, and he was choked to his death. So I followed that whole story, and we'll talk about more of this stuff next week. But for now, let's talk about ovarian cancer. Tell me about your organization. What's the name of your organization?
The name of my organization is called Ella Booz Angels Ovarian Cancer Foundation, and I was introduced to ovarian cancer through our aunt. My aunt was diagnosed with ovarian cancer a few years back, probably 10 years ago, and after losing her life, my mother was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I was in the medical field for many years. I worked at the VA hospital, and I was really not too educated on ovarian cancer. When my mother, she was in remission for 16 months, and when it came back more aggressive. And I left Los Angeles. I moved to Georgia, and my mother battled with it for 3 years. And after she lost her life, I just literally went into a deep depression. And I came out of that depression because I was mad, and I wanted to know more about ovarian cancer. And what I found out, it literally petrified me. And I just had to let everyone know about this cancer, and that's how Ella Booth came about.
So, now, I noticed I read your biography about all your history, about everything that you've done, and you have been doing some tremendous work, some very wonderful work. And I take it that you're raising funds to help fight the cause for ovarian cancer, right?
Yes. What I did, because I found out that ovarian cancer usually attacks Jewish women, but what I found out is that minority women, especially women of color, is losing their lives faster than any other race. And I didn't understand how is it that ovarian cancer, it attacks Jewish women, but they're outliving us longer. So I wanted to get the word out, and I said, how can I get this word out, and how can I get the attention of women, of minority women? And so I start educating ovarian cancer through fashion, music, and art. And my mother was truly a diva, and that's how I start getting attention through in the inner cities through minority women, especially minority women, through fashion, music, and art.
Well, you know, Wena, yesterday I was on your Facebook page, and I did listen to a video clip that you had up there about yesterday would have been your mom's birthday. It was your mom's birthday, right?
Yes, she would have been 67 years young yesterday.
67
yeah.
years young. And I followed the clip, and I just wanted to say happy birthday to your mom on the air. And, you know,
thank
hey.
You.
You know, and God bless you. I left a little note there on your page saying God bless you and all that great stuff. And I'm proud of the work that you're doing because, you know, it people need to be educated on this very serious disease, ovarian cancer. And so tell me, what are the symptoms? How does a woman know when she has the symptoms or if she's in a certain stage? Can you explain that to all the listeners?
Well, ovarian cancer is called the silent killer, and it's usually detected at its late stages or is misdiagnosed or is overlooked. And the reason for it is because the symptoms are usually more common to a woman's menstrual cycle, and the symptoms are bloatiness, trouble eating and feeling full quickly, abdominal pelvic pains, frequent urination, abnormal bleeding, back pain, leg pain, menstrual changing. So a lot of women, they don't associate these symptoms to ovarian cancer. They just think that their normal menstrual cycles are just normal changes within their body. So they don't tell their doctor these symptoms. If you're having these symptoms with longer than 2 weeks, then you definitely need to consult your doctor. Also, a lot of times women have their yearly exam, and their exam come back normal, and they're having these symptoms, and they just say, okay, my exam come back normal. A pap smear does not detect ovarian cancer. The test that needs to be performed to detect ovarian cancer is a regular ultrasound, a vaginal ultrasound, and a blood test called the CA125.
Now, what's that blood test called again?
It's called the CA125.
And that is specifically to detect. That test right there is to specifically look for ovarian cancer in a female, right?
Yeah, that's a test that they use. It actually it actually detects the protein levels in a woman's body, because we all have cancer cells in our body, but there's certain things that trigger your cancer cells that make them abnormally grow. And the CA125, it detects if you have abnormal cancer cells. So those are the three tests that you need to have performed to see if you have ovarian cancer. So,
Sorry to interrupt you so abruptly, but could you name those three tests one more time? There might be some people that need to write this down.
It's okay. It's just a regular ultrasound. Like if you're going in, if you're having, if you're pregnant and you have an ultrasound, or you have a bladder,
right,
if they're examining your bladder or anything, an ultrasound, just a regular ultrasound. A vaginal ultrasound. It's like a wand, and they'll insert it into the vaginal wall, and and they'll, you know, and then a test called the CA125. It's a blood test.
The CA125, yes. Okay, now let me ask you. Now, I know that there's lots of ways to deal with this if they catch it early. How do they treat ovarian cancer? How do they treat it?
Well, there's many different ways that they can treat it. Also, it depends on the woman's choice. I mean, my mother, she chose to have chemotherapy. My mother was actually diagnosed in almost her fifth stage. It's five stages to ovarian cancer. She was in her fourth stage. What's so different with ovarian cancer? Ovarian cancer has so many types of ovarian cancer. So my mother had, hers was in the most aggressive stage, and she had to have radiation and chemotherapy.
Wow.
Yesterday
I was talking to a pastor who had cancer, and they said the chemotherapy was just taking a lot of energy out of them. It took so much energy out of them. Could you talk a little bit about the treatment and how it kind of like takes so much energy from the human body while it's still killing cells? Wiener, are you there? Hello? Okay, I think we have a little phone call problem here. Let's see if we can go to some music, and we'll be right back, and we're going to get our guests back on the phone. We'll be right back. Check this out. Little Marvin Gaye. We'll be right back on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Stand by.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Right now.
Hey, man, what's your name?
We are back. That was a little bit of Marvin Gaye. We kind of had a little drop call there, but we're back. Ms. Wiener Hall, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how technology is, okay? We're in the social media network, so you know anything can happen. The government might be listening. I'm sure they are. But this is a very important topic. And you know what? To get a cure for cancer, I mean, all these years, I sometimes wonder, why is it that the pharmaceutical companies have not come up with a cure for cancer? That puzzles me to this day. And there's so much medication out there. And do you know how expensive medication is getting these days?
And what is a really big concern for me, because you're going to be touching on prostate cancer. There's a gene called the BRAC102, and we're just going to touch on this just a little. There's a gene called the BRAC102. We have so much money that's donated to the cause for breast cancer. And now we're just starting to hear about prostate cancer. And we don't hear a lot about ovarian cancer, which that's what Ella Booz is pushing for, more research. We need more research. There's a gene called the BRAC102. This gene can be inherited. Now, men can't get ovarian cancer, and women can't get prostate cancer, but this gene is found in prostate cancer and ovarian cancer and breast cancer.
Okay, so got to ask you, Wiener, wait a minute. Hold on. That's a very important thing that you just said. That's a wonderful, important statement. What, and say it nice and loud, again, the name of that gene.
The BRAC1 or 2. This gene is found. The BRAC1 or 2.
I'm sorry.
This
BRAC1 or 2. Okay.
And not only this gene is found in prostate cancer, breast cancer, and ovarian cancer, this gene can be inherited.
And that's the part that's really getting to me here, is that this particular gene, this BRAC102 gene, is found in...
It's BRAC1 or 2. Yes, BRAC1 or 2.
Okay, so let me do it in a military way. Bravo, B is in Bravo, R is in right,
no.
A is in apple.
Yes, B, R is in Bravo, R as in right, A as in apple, D as in Victor, BRAC. 1 R 2.
Okay, R is in right. Okay, so now that we know what we're dealing with here, we can Google this, all you people out there listening, and you can Google the cell. Now, what amazes me about this is you can find this in breast cancer, prostate cancer, and ovarian cancer, but a man can't get ovarian and a woman can't get prostate, but this cell is found in all three of the cancers. Break that down for us, please.
And get this. Why the youngest case that's been diagnosed with ovarian cancer is a 3-year-old female.
No. Oh, gosh. And tell me, how are they working on getting this cell, killing this cell? I mean, do they have any – can you tell us about that?
That's the big thing. No one can tell us. This gene can be inherited. This gene is inherited. Just like your eyes is inherited, just like your skin tone, everything, this is just inherited. So this is what petrified me. This is what made me eradicate the cause. Because breast cancer runs in my family. Ovarian cancer runs in my family, obviously. This past Christmas, I lost a cousin, 48 years old, from breast cancer.
Wow.
20 years ago, my aunt was diagnosed with breast cancer. Both of her breasts was removed. She's still here, thank God. I tested for the BRCA1 or 2. 2 years ago, I was having issues. When my doctor found out that my mother had ovarian cancer, my aunt had breast cancer, my cousin had breast cancer, my doctor would not even allow me to keep my ovaries.
Wow.
And now
I have
to worry about my children carrying the gene.
And so let me ask you, your organization is a nonprofit 501c3 organization?
Yes, it's a 501 nonprofit organization, yes.
Okay, so then you're actually able to take in donations from people who want to donate to the cause?
Yes, you can. You can go to my site.
And could you tell everybody what your site is? Give everybody your website and any information that you want all the listeners to hear in case people have questions about cancer, ovarian cancer specifically, and or breast cancer. How do they reach out to your website? How do they join your organization and become a part of a fight to cure ovarian cancer?
Actually, go on our website. It's www.ellaboosangels, ellaboosangels.org. And you can just go on our website. We have a ton of information. You can click on donation. Really what we need more than anything besides the donations, of course we need the donations, but what we need more, we need people to rally with us and help us get out the word. What my main concern is women losing their lives. What is it that's causing young females, 3-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 20-year-old women losing their lives? Now, you have to remember, without healthy ovaries, you cannot reproduce.
That's so true.
If you're not able to have a healthy ovary, you're not going to be able to reproduce. We have one board member by the name of LaShawn Hall. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer at the age of 14. She's 38 right now trying to conceive.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's a whole other issue with minorities. There's the so-called grants that's supposed to be issued out for women that was misdiagnosed, and they're not being given to women with color. Why? That's a whole other issue.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're going to have to repeat that one more time. Okay. Say that again, please.
There's civil lawsuits that were conducted years ago, because a lot of cases that went on, like I said, ovarian cancer is called the silent killer because the symptoms are so common to a woman's menstrual cycle. A lot of women were misdiagnosed. So there were civil suits that went on, and a lot of women were supposed to be money that was supposed to be issued to women that wanted to conceive and wanted to start families. Well, a lot of women of color, they're saying that they don't fit the criteria for these different programs. But Caucasian women, they fit the program.
Mm.
That's a whole other story.
So let me ask you a question. The people that filed that lawsuit, did they win?
Yeah, they won the lawsuit, but if women of color, now they're trying to have babies, they don't have the money to do these surgeries to conceive, or they don't have money to go out and get surrogate mothers. So, my organization is not focusing on, it's a white thing, it's a black thing, because, we are all females. But at the same time, I'm a woman of color. So it's touching on a lot of things. I want to know, why is it women in the inner cities is having it so hard? Why is it that when I went to Alabama to speak to a group of women in Alabama, it was a 26-year-old young female that found out she had ovarian cancer Unfortunately, she lost her life. She was 26 years old. She had four children. But I feel like a lot of women in the inner cities are not getting the proper resources because they don't have anyone to help them with their children.
Well, first of all, Wena, I want to really commend you because I've been following you and your work, and you do go out and visit the hospitals and the ladies, the young ladies who have cancer, ovarian cancer, and I see you out there, and you are doing a tremendous, fantabulous job. And you know what? God has anointed you and appointed you for this position to be a leader and take the reins and go out there and get the attention. And I hope all the listeners, please join the organization or follow the organization and see what's being done. And we have to shed this light on ovarian cancer. The next event that you do, please let me know. I want to support and participate in what you're doing.
We are having an event, and I'm extremely blessed because when I relocated to New York, I said, you know what? I studied the West Indies, coming from a very diverse family. You know, my family have West Indies roots. Ella Booz is going to participate in the Labor Day West Indies Parade, and I felt like what other way to get the word out, especially in their inner cities, and I'm very honored and I'm very happy to participate in this parade. We're going to be on the float with a band called Detailed Mass Production, and we're the first nonprofit health organization to ever entwine with a band in this big Labor Day parade in New York. And anyone that's listening that's in New York that knows about this parade, that's just that's like one of our biggest accomplishments. And I just thank God. I give God the glory for helping us get this awareness out in the inner cities in this way. And if you guys are listening, just come out and bring your flags and help us get the awareness out that way. And just tell your mothers, your sisters, your daughters, your friends, if they have the symptoms, just don't be scared, because I know women's bodies go through changes. Just be safe and listen to your body and just talk to your doctor and let them know. Don't let anybody intimidate you, and talk to your doctor.
You know, I want to I'm allowing you to please post these things up on my page, because I have about 5,000 followers too, and when I send stuff out, it goes all over. So please post whatever you're doing up on my Facebook page, and you can also hit me on Instagram and Twitter. And
okay.
And please, do you have your Facebook page information you want to give out so people can go to your page and read your page or Twitter or Instagram?
Yes. Yes, actually, I have my own personal Facebook page. It's Wena Holt, WINAHOLT, and also we have Ella Booz Angels Ovarian Cancer Foundation, and you can go to our Twitter's page, Wena Holt. Wena is me. And like I said, if you like, you can go and donate. All the proceedings go strictly to get out the word and help save a life. September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, and it's to all the women that's battling ovarian cancer. And I also have to give it up to SHARE. SHARE is an organization. They've been around for a long time. They have 24-hour counselors. These women are ovarian cancer survivors, and they have a program where they link women up that have the same type of cancer, ovarian cancer, and they can take you through the same process they went through. And I think that their program is absolutely awesome. It's called SHARE, SHARE, and they have a lot of resources, and you guys can just Google them and tell them that Ella Booz sent you guys. They can send you to different outlets and help. Just help.
That's it.
Now, Wena, I want to get back to the most important part. How are you getting the research done on ovarian cancer? What is your fight to get more attention on ovarian cancer, to get more research on ovarian cancer? How are you doing that?
Well, right now, we're looking for doctors, GYNs, to come on board. I don't have a doctor on our board at this time. We did have a doctor, but she had to dismiss herself for personal reasons. All our board members that's on the board, when I tell you they are soldiers, we dedicate ourselves. Everyone that's on my board has been affected by cancer in some type of way. If they have not battled it themselves, they have lost someone to cancer. So we go out on foot. We're on the internet. We go to seminars. We're constantly doing the research for ourselves. So if you know anyone that would love to come on board, we're looking for anyone, any type of specialist, anyone that would come and help us bring awareness and get the information out, that would be a blessing. It really would. Yeah.
Well, okay, we're going to take a short pause for the calls. Don't go anywhere, Wena. We're going to come right back. I just want to get a short song in here. And just take a minute for everybody to marinate on all this wonderful information. So what I'd like for you to do is, if you don't mind, when we come back, is I'd like for you to talk a little bit about the support groups that you have formed that support each other after a person fights this disease called ovarian cancer. And everybody out there, don't go anywhere. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success. I want to take a short pause for the cause. And, you know, we are the world, aren't we, Wena?
Yes, we are.
All right,
yes,
hold on.
Yes,
we are. We'll be right back.
Hello?
Oh, there's a choice we're making. We're saving our lives.
right, all right, all right. We are the world. We are back on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio, with our very, very special guest all the way from New York, talking about ovarian cancer with Ms. Wena Ho. Wena, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, yes, now, Wena, I am, you know, it's such a pleasure to have you on talking about this very serious disease, ovarian cancer. And I wanted to ask you, have you thought about branching out, you know, like having more than one branch of Elibu's, your organization, Elibu's Angels? Have you thought about branching out around the United States so other people can get involved in what you're doing?
Well, yes, I have. We actually have a chapter in Los Angeles. This is definitely a family's affair. My sister is located in Rialto, California, and it has definitely been an honor. Countess Bonds from the hit show Moesha and the Parkers, she just got done shooting her reality show, Hollywood Divas. She is Elibu's national spokesperson, and she has definitely been, I mean, on a ball just getting the word out about the symptoms and talking pill with ovarian cancer. Countess, thank you so much. We also have linked up working with Tina Bridge. She has a modeling agency called Ageless Beauty. We definitely believe in when you're going through something, a little bit of makeup and you know, getting out there and helping the women that's going through chemo sometimes, just dolling them up can definitely help them feel better. We're doing our second annual Rip the Teal Away at the end of September. Donations are definitely needed, and they're definitely thankful.
Okay, now, Wena, can you tell us what Rip the Teal Away is? Is that like a modeling exhibition? Can you share that information with the listeners?
Yes, it is. When I thought of Elibu's Angels, once again, my mother was an absolutely extraordinary woman. My mother worked for one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world. But outside of that, she was not only a diva, she was such a giving individual. When my mother passed away, she came from a small town in Picayune, Mississippi. But she had almost 300 people that flown from Mississippi, from Los Angeles, from Boston, Massachusetts, I mean from everywhere, because she was such a giving person. And so when I thought of my organization, I said I wanted to channel it in every aspect. And I wanted it to be not only educating women about their bodies, but I wanted it to uplift their spirits in every way, because that's how my mother was. And we're like a sisterhood. And, you know, we go through our bumps and we go through our falls, but I thank God for it. And so Ageless Beauty comes in, and what we want to do is eventually I want to be able to go out and doll women up. We're starting our fashion line for women that's going through chemotherapy, and you can just throw on your little dress and go in and do your chemo, your radiation, because sometimes it does help you feel better. The way you look on the outside, it can make you feel better on the inside.
Wena, I don't mean to cut you off like that, but you said you're starting your clothing line for your organization. Can you share a little bit? We have 11 minutes left before we go into our second topic, which is prostate cancer. But while we're on this, tell us about your clothing line and where you're going to go with that, because that's a good way to raise money too.
Well, the clothing line is something it's something that you could throw on. It's going to be just really casual but really fun. Teal is the color for ovarian cancer, and it's going to be based on something really chic but really just casual and fun. And we're working on that right now, so it's going to be really nice. It is.
Okay. Now, do you need volunteers because if you need volunteers, this is a good time to shout it out right now. If you need volunteers to help volunteer with the work that you do.
We always need volunteers. If you click on our website, we have a volunteer button. You can always inbox me or email me at info@ellaboos.org. info@ellaboosangels.org. All our information that you can reach out to us is on our website. Once again, it is much appreciated. We need volunteers all the time. And I just really thank you, Mr. Jones. I keep an eye on you also. I might not be able to send you messages and click on every like you because I have a lot of friends that's doing some magnificent things, but really I keep my eye on you, and you are doing some magnificent things yourself. You are. So
you know I'm over here blushing because I didn't know you were going to say anything, but, you know, for those who don't know, I am the president of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, but we don't just work in Los Angeles. We're all over the place. And I commend you, and I thank you for recognizing me. I just got to give all that glory to God. I'm commending you today. This is your day. Yesterday was your mom's birthday. I am so proud of you getting out there on the fight against ovarian cancer because, like you said, it's not just a black thing or a white thing or a Filipino thing. It's a human being thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm really glad to have you talking about ovarian cancer because I don't think enough people talk about ovarian cancer.
No.
And I want you to tell us right now, what is the most important thing you want people to know before we go off the air and start on our next topic? What is the most important thing that you want people to know about ovarian cancer?
I want people to know the most important thing is that this is called the silent killer for a reason, and that everyone needs to wake up because it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care how old you are. It doesn't care how young you are. And it will take your mother's life, your daughter's life, your aunt, your sister, and it doesn't care. It took my mother's life. And it's time that we break the silence. It's time. That's the most important thing. Yeah.
And so how long has your organization been in existence?
It's a baby. April just made a year. It's still on its crawling on its knees, but, you know, we're getting there. And with everyone's support and everyone's help, we're just getting stronger and stronger. And we are going to defeat this nasty cancer, this nasty killer. And we're exposing it. We're bringing it to light. And we're not going to let it bring us down. We're not gonna sit down about it anymore. Something has to be done about it. We're not going to sit down and allow it to destroy people's lives anymore. And we want to know answers, and we want to know why. Why no one is telling us why this cancer is affecting females' reproductive system. What is it? What's going on?
Well, I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. It's just, you know, if we don't shed light on certain things, there won't be any light shed on it unless we do what we're doing now. We're talking about it. And talking about it means that people can hear it. And the people that hear it, I'm sure it's not falling on deaf ears because cancer affects everyone in some kind of way at some point in time. And it's not... It's nothing to play with. It's a very, very serious disease. And I just don't understand, like I said, out of all these years, all these hundreds of years that cancer has been around, there's got to be a cure for it somewhere. So with your fight and your attention on it and magnifying on it so much, perhaps sometime in the near future, we just might get a cure.
Yes, we will get a cure. We will get
Amen. Here.
And just to let you know, and I know we have to close it out, that this cancer has been kept quiet for such a long time. Did you know that Coretta King Scott lost her life to ovarian cancer? that Obama's mother lost her life to ovarian cancer.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's so many women that have lost their lives to this cancer. Yes. Why? Why is this cancer such a big secret?
Wow.
Yes.
And why are the pharmaceutical companies pumping out all these medicines for it, but no cures? You know,
yes.
The amazing thing, and I don't mean to jump off the subject because we're sticking on cancer, but I've seen certain celebrities, I'm not saying any names, that have had the finances and went to someplace out of the United States and have actually got whatever they medicine they did get from wherever, and they came back in remission, cured, okay, 100%. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yes.
And I just wonder, is it a – I don't want to say it's a conspiracy because who wants to use a conspiracy theory, but why can't we get the cure for cancer? Why don't they have a medication that can cure this disease?
Exactly.
You know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, together we stand and divided we fall, you know. And if we all stick together on this very serious disease, we can stand together in solidarity and we can not only present questions, but also, you know, work with the medical board of the government and start asking them some questions and putting them to work on what they're supposed to be doing and us getting a cure. And if you maybe, just maybe, you can take this to such a level that we can get the government involved in supporting your cause to find a cure for it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Well, I'm definitely not going to be quiet about it. And I'm eradicating the cause and eradicating TIL, and I'm talking TIL for a female's life. I'm talking TIL for my daughter's life and my granddaughter's life and every female that even have a reproductive system. I want, for my mother's sake, for my aunt's sake, I can't. Ovarian cancer took something very dear for me, and I'm getting ready to take something back, and I'm not going to shut up. I can't.
Well, you know, Weena, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I don't want to forget about that gene that you told me about, the BRAV1R2, that gene.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
I learned something today that gene is in breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and prostate cancer, and I guess
yes.
The goal would be to destroy that gene and or work on finding out how to stop that gene from multiplying and doing what it does.
We have to find out. More research. We need more research, more research, more research. I can't not stress it more. We need more research. It's just more research. Early detection is the key. And remember, if you have those symptoms, more than 2 weeks is not normal. Do not let anyone tell you it's normal. Once again, don't be afraid. Don't, I have ovarian cancer, I have cancer. No. But talk to your doctor, and don't let anyone intimidate you. Oh, it's nothing. Okay, well, you know what? I want this test. Let's make sure it's nothing, and then we'll be okay. So I just want to thank you so much for inviting me on, and we definitely have to do this again. When I'm in L.A., I would definitely stop by and tell Mother and Paul them and Vera them, I said hello. I love the family so much.
I will, and I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I'm looking forward to continuing to follow your work, and thank you for educating everybody out there that's listening today. And I want to close out with a song for you. So I want you to have a wonderful, beautiful day, and God bless your organization, and God bless you.
Thank
all right,
you.
I'll talk to
you
soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, y'all, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, What a time we just had talking about ovarian cancer and the different things. But I want you to listen to the song. We'll be right back. And we're going to have our special guest, Mr. Freddie Muse Jr., calling in. He'll be calling in from Los Angeles, and we'll be talking about the Men's Cancer Network and prostate cancer. So hold on just a minute, and we have a little something for you, okay? Earth, wind, and fire.
Your heart and soul, I don't hesitate, God's a wealthy soul, shall be young and hard, I push you never, never more, and so
you are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio, and we're just hanging out today talking about a very, very, very important topic, which is cancer. And we know that there's all types of cancer. There's brain cancer, bone cancer, skin cancer, breast cancer, and of course we just finished talking about ovarian cancer. And do we have a caller on the line? Caller?
Yep, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning, Eddie.
Is this my special guest, Mr. Freddie Muse Jr.?
It is. It is. Thank you so much for having me.
Man, Freddie, thank you for coming on the show. And I'm sure you heard the first part of our show, which was about ovarian cancer. But now we're going to go on. We talked about the ladies. And I know you heard about the gene that she was talking about, the BRAV1R2 gene. Which it really amazed me that that same cancer gene is in ovarian cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer, but men can't get ovarian cancer and women can't get prostate cancer, but the same gene is in all three of those cancers. Can you tell me a little bit, before we get started, tell us about the name of your organization and what you do, Freddie.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again so much for having me, Eddie. Okay,
you're
so
welcome.
I'm Freddie Muse Jr., founder, president, and CEO of the Men's Cancer Network, Incorporated, here in Los Angeles, California. We are a prostate cancer organization dedicated to saving our men. That's our campaign, because our men are just unaware of this issue. I am also a prostate cancer survivor, and since my diagnosis, I've been talking to men about this issue, and I found out, Eddie, that our men are just unaware. And because of they are unaware, they are dying in tremendous amounts every year. Okay, Eddie,
wow.
It's already been projected that over 30,000 men are going to die this year alone from prostate cancer.
Freddie, excuse me for interrupting. That is an amazing, alarming number for me. You said 30,000 people are going to die this year from prostate cancer alone.
Okay, so what I said was over 30,000 men are going to die from prostate cancer alone this year.
Oh my gosh, man.
We believe that's unnecessary, Eddie, because it's mostly due to men being unaware of this issue. So let's talk about it. All we ask is just to have a conversation, because there is a way to save men from this death. Cancer, as we know, has pretty much always been a death sentence, Eddie. But guess what? Cancer is not a death sentence anymore. It's only
a death sentence
if you're allowed to be. If you're allowed to be, because men need to get screened. And I wish there was a special word or a special prayer that I can put out there for the men to help them see this point and go get themselves screened. Because I tell you, Eddie, the PSA, which is the prostate-specific antigen, is just a blood test. It takes 2 minutes to have this blood test done. If anyone's ever had a lab work done with their doctor for other issues, okay, so you know that a lab test, a blood test, only takes about 2 minutes. And so we need men 40 and over to have this screening done at least once a year. So can a man take 2 minutes out of a whole year to get this test done to relieve your mind, to know that to take cancer off the list for this year? I mean, that's our issue, Eddie, and that's part of our Saving Our Men effort and campaign.
Now, if people want to go to your website or they want to join, or make donations to the organization, could you tell people out there how to reach the Men's Cancer Network? And, of course, you know, I think it's like every Saturday you always have something going on where they can come in and be educated. Can you talk about that for us?
I can. First, let me say that our website is www.themenscancernetwork.com. We also have a Facebook page, Eddie. It's the Men's Cancer Network, Inc. on Facebook. Both the Facebook page and the website was put together by me as a prostate cancer survivor to inform, enlighten, and educate our men about this dangerous and killing disease. I heard you say earlier that you'd like to see a cure for this disease. Well, I'm hoping to see that in my lifetime as well, Eddie. But guess what? There is no cure today for anything, not even the common cold, which has been around since before our time. There's no cure for any diseases out here today.
Hold on, Freddie, hold on. I had to laugh on that because you know why? I agree with you 100%. There is no cure for the common cold. And if they can't find a cure for the cold, how in the world are they going to find a cure for cancer? And I see all this research going on, Freddie. I see all this research going on. And they're raising all this money, but I don't see any cures. That's my concern.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I agree with you, Eddie, because by now I have expected to be that there will be some kind of a cure for this disease. But again, Eddie, there's no cure for any diseases at all. I've come to that realization during my research as a prostate cancer survivor and starting this organization, the Men's Cancer Network, Inc.
Now,
okay,
you know, I wanted to say to you, now there's two, isn't there more than one test besides a blood test that you can take too? Because, you know, and I had a prostate check and I get one every time I go to, you know, my yearly checkup. And I'm not always happy to take the test, but we have to take the test. So could you tell people about the different types of tests that they have out there besides the blood test?
Okay. So there are two basic screenings for prostate cancer. And one, the first one we already mentioned, the PSA or the prostate-specific antigen, that's the blood test. The other test is the DRE or the digital rectal exam. Okay. That's a little invasive. And men are a little ashamed of having that done. But again, that's the finger poke, Eddie, for those who are not aware of the digital rectal exam. That's what that is, the finger test, where a finger is poked in the anus to feel for prostate cancer in the prostate, because it's located right between the penis and the anus, right in your pelvic area. And so those are the two tests that go together when you're testing for prostate cancer. Of course, the PSA. Okay.
Now, I was going to ask you, now this is really important because a lot of people don't know the symptoms. I know that there's some different symptoms that can give you like a hint that there might be something wrong with your prostate. Could you tell people what the symptoms are about prostate cancer, the early stages and symptoms?
Okay. Good question, Eddie. Thank you. And I'm happy to do this. Okay, men, for symptoms for prostate cancer may include an urgent need to urinate, a decreased force and stream when you do urinate, chills and fever, pain in the lower back or genital area, blood infections, blood in the urine or semen, and discomfort in the pelvic area. Now, Eddie, I think it's important to also say that some men will not show any of these symptoms, but could still possibly have prostate cancer. Okay, that's very important to note because I talk to some men and they say, "Hey, man, I didn't experience any of these symptoms at all, but my PSA was 15 or 20 or 30. Why is that?" Well, you know, I'm not a doctor. I can't really explain that technically. What I can say to you is, please refer to your urologist or oncologist, because these are cancer doctors and they can answer all of your questions. And that's what we do. We have referrals. We have doctors on our board and our staff that will do that is willing to do one-on-one consultations with any man that has an issue or concern about prostate cancer.
Now let me ask you. Let me ask you a question, because a lot of people don't know what a normal PSA is. You said that it could be up to 30 or whatever. Tell people what an irregular PSA score is and a regular PSA score.
Okay. So generally, what is looked at is your PSA score when you take the PSA blood test, the screening for prostate cancer. Okay, and our target age group is men 40 and over. Okay, and what we look for is a PSA level or score of less than 5, Eddie. Depending on the man's age and his physicality, his physique, and how he's handling himself and caring for himself, he may have a higher PSA. You know, there's not one issue that can be determined as why you have or was diagnosed with prostate cancer. There's not one issue. When I was diagnosed, the diagnosis is devastating, Eddie, and I couldn't help but think to myself, well, what did I do to get this? How did this have happened to me? You know, men are going to have these thoughts, but it's a combination of things, Eddie. Your diet, your environment, the amount of exercise that you incorporate in your life, because those are the changes that are needed today to stay more physically fit, and it's part of prevention for prostate cancer, for any cancer for that matter.
So in other words, let me ask you. So your PSA score. Now a lot of people don't even know what PSA stands for. What does PSA stand for?
Okay, again, the PSA it stands for prostate specific antigen, and it's a blood test, Eddie. It's a blood test, and it's like doing a lab for your doctor for any other ailment or concern. If your doctor has ever asked you to do lab work, what else would you do? You go to a laboratory, you give blood. So they can check different things in your body, things that go in your liver, and other things. Okay, so it's exactly the same thing. It's just a blood test. And it just takes one vial of blood to be screened and your PSA level determined from that one vial of blood, Eddie.
Wow. Now, we have a caller, and I'm going to see if I can get this caller to chime in. I don't know if he has a question or a statement that he wants to make. Let's see if this caller is here right now. Hold on. Let's see. Caller, okay. Are you there? Caller, are you there? Okay. All right. Let's go to the next line. Let's see. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Okay. So, okay, I guess our callers, are we going to put them back on hold? Are you there, Freddie?
I am here, Eddie. I am.
Okay. Now, Freddie, could you talk about, because a lot of young, what age group, I mean, what's the youngest person that you've known that has had prostate cancer? And could you share that with us?
Okay, I will. Okay, just recently, a couple of months ago, one of the men from my church, his nephew died of prostate cancer at the age of 45. Okay, as I mentioned, our target age group are men 40 years of age and older. However,
wow.
because of that gene, Eddie, if there's a family history of cancer, even if it was your grandmother, we recommend that men start getting screened at age 35.
Right.
Okay.
Now I know you have an event coming up. The Men's Cancer Network has an event coming up. Could you please share with everybody your event, and if they want to get involved or they want to get tickets to come and support, can you talk about that for us, Freddie?
I can. Okay, so next month is, I'm not sure if everyone knows this, but next month, September, is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. And we, the Men's Cancer Network, Inc., are going to raise the bar on the level of awareness for prostate cancer. Because, as Ms. Holmes stated earlier, with ovarian cancer, it's not talked about as much. And I'm not sure why men are not talking about this. Organizations are not raising the bar or heightening the awareness level for prostate cancer because, again, prostate cancer is killing over 30,000 men this year. So our event, it's going to be our first annual prostate cancer awareness rally and benefit concert. It's a fundraising event, Eddie, and our host and MC is the great Roscoe Lee Owens. So the theme for our event is Let's Talk About It. Again, that's going to be Saturday, September 20th, 2014, at the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center. And that's in the Mert Park, 4305 Deggan Avenue, Suite 101, Los Angeles, California, 9008. Tickets are available right now for sale. The tickets are $25 before the event, $30 at the door. We plan to have licensed doctor presentations. We're going to have testimonials from prostate cancer survivors, testimonials from caregivers of those prostate cancer survivors. We'll have a raffle, and then we're going to have a mini concert, Eddie, to provide a little entertainment for the day.
Now wait a minute. Are you going to have some food, Freddie?
Yes, sir. We're going to have some food that hasn't been confirmed at this point, but there will be food available. There will be refreshments and food available. Yes, sir.
I just threw that in there. You know, people love to eat, you know.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Are you going to be speaking at this event? Because, you know, you're very well educated on prostate cancer, and, your organization is bringing so much information to the community, and you're reaching out to so many men and helping them understand how serious this prostate disease is and how it's attacking. But what I wanted to ask you is, how much is it attacking the black community?
Okay. That's a great question, Eddie, and thank you so much for bringing that up. I was going to touch on that, but now that you brought it up, let me just say that, okay, prostate cancer is an issue for all men, Eddie, all men, black, white,
yes,
brown, green, purple, I don't care what color you are, prostate cancer is an issue for any man 40 and over. However,
yes,
the African-American communities, the African-American men, I don't know exactly why this is, but African American men are affected the most by any disease, Eddie. Any disease.
Really?
Especially prostate cancer. Okay? African American
between 1 and 10, where are we at between 1 and 10?
12.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. This is Eddie, it's vital and extremely important. And I'm going to die trying to get this word out of awareness for prostate cancer because it's a vital issue, Eddie. It's vital that our men get educated about this disease. God said back in the days before Christ that our men will be destroyed from lack of knowledge.
Hmm.
He said that in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
That's right.
Our people will be destroyed. My people will be destroyed from lack of knowledge. And that's so very true today. Knowledge is powerful, Eddie. And the lack
yes,
of
it is.
Today will kill you. So,
and
man,
you know what?
You're
so right. I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you quoted the scripture and you said lack of knowledge, if you don't know about prostate cancer and you don't have any education or knowledge of prostate cancer, which brings me to this one since you said that one, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. Amen?
Amen. Amen, Eddie. Amen. Amen. So the concern is to get to raise the bar on the awareness level. Next month is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Our event is, the Prostate Cancer Awareness Benefit Rally and Concert. And, again, it's at the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center. Tickets are $25. We're also selling our T-shirts as a fundraiser to support this event as well. So T-shirts are available. Tickets are available. Go to our website, calendar of events link. And we post all of our information there. Also on our Facebook page, the Men's Cancer Network Inc. Our information is posted there as well.
You know, Freddie. Every time I wear my Men's Cancer Network T-shirt, people always say, "Man, that's a really nice T-shirt. Where'd you get it?" And I, of course, I tell them about the Men's Cancer Network right away. And I hope that they're selling like hotcakes because that money helps you to help more people who are fighting against cancer, prostate cancer. And speaking of that, could you talk about the support groups? Like after they survive, it goes into remission. What type of support groups do you get the people involved in who are survivors of the prostate cancer?
Well, again, thank you for that question, Eddie. Okay, so I encourage all cancer survivors, find a support group, support it, because that's where you'll get ongoing and continuing information about what's going on, the latest developments in the cancer world. As a matter of fact, we conduct a cancer support group. Actually, it's a co-ed cancer support group now, Eddie, and it's open to men and women and even children because, let me tell you, no one is safe today from cancer. No one. Not men, not women, not even our children today, Eddie. Okay, cancer is so prevalent today. You mentioned before about the prominent celebrities and the prominent people who have money and they have everything in life, but guess what? Your greatest wealth is your health. And celebrities are dying from cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, and other cancers because cancer does not discriminate, Eddie. It doesn't care who you are, how much money you have, where you live, what you do in life. If cancer shows its ugly face, you have to deal with it. You know, my pastor and I agree that when you're diagnosed with cancer, you know, some people may say, well, you know, I'm not with it, or I'm not going for that, or I'm not claiming it. Well, guess what? You still have to deal with it. You've been diagnosed. You still have to deal with it, or it's going to kill you. That's our point about that.
Well, on that point right there, Freddie, we're going to take a short pause for the cause. Freddie, stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. Everybody out there that's listening to the show right now, this is the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. And our first guest that we had this morning was Wena Holt from New York with Ella Boo's Angels on ovarian cancer. And now we're talking about prostate cancer with Mr. Freddie Muse Jr. on the phone from the Men's Cancer Network. We're going to take a short pause for the cause. We'll be right back. And don't go anywhere, Freddie. We'll be right back. Hear you guys a little bit of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh,
All right. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and we're talking about prostate cancer, which is, I can't believe it, but Freddie, like you said, over 30,000 men will be affected by this just this year alone. So let me ask you a question, Freddie. Let me ask you a question. When people go into remission, when they find a cure and they go into remission, what are the things that they have to go through? Could you tell me how they're treated for the prostate cancer? How are they treated?
Okay. Basically, there are two forms of treatment for prostate cancer, Eddie. The first one will be the radical surgery or the robotic surgery. Okay, so a man can choose from either one of those if he decides he wants surgery. The second form of treatment is radiation. Okay, and those are the two basic forms of.
Can we focus on the surgery? I'm sorry. Can you tell everybody about the surgery, the procedure itself, and how you do it? How is it done?
Okay. Well, you know, Eddie, as you know, I'm not a doctor, but I can pretty much tell you that, you know, a surgery is a surgery. You lay on a table, they cut you open, they remove the prostate. They physically, actually and physically remove the prostate from you. Of course, that being a cancerous prostate. Now that's more than likely one that will metastasize or spread to other organs, and that's an important part of why men decide to have the radical surgery or the robotic surgery to remove the prostate. That's a man's decision. Each man has to determine for himself what type of treatment that he wants. Okay, we can help men make their decision by informing them and educating them on both sides of the treatment levels. Okay, whether surgery or radiation. I had radiation, and that's a lengthy process. You lay on a table, the machine revolves around you, it zaps the pelvic area right where the prostate is. And it kills the cells. It's a slower process.
Now, let me ask you, is the radiation treatment, is it painful?
No, sir. I did not feel a thing. As I mentioned, I did radiation. I chose radiation as my treatment for prostate cancer, and it is painless. It's like having an X-ray. I didn't feel a thing, Eddie. I did not feel a thing. However, it took 9 weeks of treatments because the treatment itself is only about 3 minutes in duration to get the radiation, and it's projected to your pelvic area, like as I mentioned, right to the prostate. And the time-consuming part about it is getting to the treatment center and getting back home. The treatment itself lasts about 3 minutes. And I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel a thing.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you have to take any metformin or any type of pills along with the radiation treatment?
Okay. No, I did not. Pills or medications are not usually taken with radiation because, it's like an X-ray. Mm-hmm. And then the pill that you just mentioned, metformin, is mostly for diabetics. Which I also happen to be a type 2 diabetic.
Right. Now that's very. Let me ask you because that's very important. I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting, Freddie. But if you're diabetic, do they treat you differently? If you have prostate cancer, do you have a different type of procedure that you have to do because you are diabetic?
No, sir. Not that I know of. The only thing that they may require is that you not take your metformin the morning of your treatment. If you're going in for an early morning treatment or afternoon, even in the afternoon, not take it that day until after you've been treated.
Right. Now the surgery, because I'm very interested in talking about the surgery again, because you said there's a robotic surgery. So if you're using a robot, that is precisely to the point of what needs to be done. Now, after you do the robotic surgery, how long is the healing process after that procedure?
Okay. Good question again, Eddie. Thank you. The healing process takes approximately 3 to 6 months, depending on the man, because every single person is different. I've spoken to men that healed a month later. Okay, so healing takes, you know, anytime there's a surgery, Eddie, it takes time to heal. Remember, you something has been taken out of you. Something has been taken from you. There was an incision made in order to make that happen, and of course everything has to heal. So 3 to 6 months, I would say is a good healing time. But some men shorter, some men longer. I talked to men that were still having problems almost a year later.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I think this is really important, Freddie, because a lot of guys, you know, after they, you know, finish these procedures or surgeries or get through this prostate cancer, how does it affect your libido? Because, you know, most men that get this, they're married, they have a relationship, and it's going to affect the wife or the lady just as much as it's going to affect the man. Can you talk a little bit about that and the resources and the help that they have for those people who go through the procedures or go through the radiation, and how does it affect their sex life?
Okay, another good question, Eddie. Thank you. Okay, so because prostate cancer is what it is, men are going to have problems. Most men will most likely end up with ED, erectile dysfunction. That is an issue for any man dealing with a challenge with prostate cancer. However, I want men to know that they can recover. You can again have an active sex life. It's probably going to take about a year or so, because you have to recover from your surgery or even from the radiation, because that radiation is very powerful and it's killing cells, and it involves the prostate.
You said one whole year?
It takes about a year, and that's why a man needs a support system, that's a dedicated woman with him. You know, if a man is married, his wife should be dedicated enough with him to stay with him throughout that period. Eddie, she cannot force an early comeback from this. The man himself has to heal all the way. But there are other things that a man can do, because now what we're talking about actually is penetration
We won't get too deep for the listeners, but what you're saying is that it takes about a year to heal, and that there are options, because I remember I came to one of your self-help groups, your support groups, and you had the doctors there that were telling about all the different things that you know, older guys can use and the younger guys can use too. Did you want to share some of the other things that they can use to help them in that area? Or is that something that you're a little educated on?
Well, okay. I do have some information on that, but Eddie, it's a little detailed. And what I would suggest is that the men go to our website for that information.
That's a good idea. Hey, Freddie, that's a great idea. How do they get to that website to get that information again? And please give them all your information, because I'm sure the guys out there that do have it, that don't know where to go, don't know where to turn, and they have questions and they want to be educated, and maybe they're afraid to talk about it, like you said, but maybe when they go to the Men's Cancer Network website, they can be educated. And so go ahead and share your information again.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie. Okay. The Men's Cancer Network, Inc. is our organization. The website is www.themenscancernetwork.com. On our website, we have 5 links with information there. Click on all the links if you go to our website, please, so that you can be fully informed and educated about this issue. You may have questions. You can email me at Freddie@menscancernetwork.com. I'll take your questions. I'll make myself available for any man who has an issue or a concern about prostate cancer. I will most likely return your email the same day. So, men, if you have questions or concerns, please email me. My telephone number is 213-909-7159. You may also call me, leave your message. I will return your call the same day or the next day at the latest, because I want men to be informed, Eddie. I want men to be informed. We want to raise the level on awareness of prostate cancer, and I really appreciate Ms. Holt for her awareness of ovarian cancer, because that's one that's not talked about as much either.
Well, hold on 1 second. I think we might have a caller. Let me see here if we have a caller calling in.
Okay.
Caller, are you there? Hello, do we have a caller here? Okay, I thought we had a caller there. It looked like a caller, but hold on. Okay.
Well, Eddie, you know, they have to press 1. Tell the callers they have to press 1 in order to get in.
Yeah, because I have, like, callers that are waiting right now to probably ask questions, but for some reason I'm not getting in clearly. But that's okay. Let's continue to talk about prostate cancer. Now, you said that it takes about a year to heal from it. Now, let's talk about remission, because a lot of people don't understand remission and what exactly it means. Could you tell people what remission means when it comes to prostate cancer?
Okay. So what we mean by remission, Eddie, is that, once you've been diagnosed and you've completed all of your screenings, your biopsy, your grade and stage of cancer has been determined, and you choose an option for treatment, okay, once your treatment is completed, you will have a follow-up exam to determine that the treatment did what it was supposed to do. If it did that, that's called remission. You no longer have active cancer cells in your prostate, in this case prostate, because of prostate cancer. And that's what we call remission. And at that point, you go into what's called survivorship. And you'll be in survivorship basically for the rest of your life, because once you've battled cancer, this is an epic episode in a man's life, and it will follow him for the rest of his life. And so,
wow.
Support groups like ours are available to help men with follow-ups. Or the latest treatments, the latest information on cancer, on prostate cancer specifically, and to have a fellowship, because, men, you're not alone with this disease. I'm a prostate cancer survivor, and there's over 1.5 million prostate cancer survivors around the country. So you can't survive this thing, but the takeaway, Eddie, is to please get screened, man, because if cancer is found early, it may be slow-growing and may not even be fatal. So that's the purpose of early detection. That's why with every cancer organization, we talk about early detection. That's what that means. If cancer is detected early, you have a 95% chance of beating it if it's detected early.
Wow. You know, everybody out there that's listening right now, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio, our wonderful guest today that is telling everybody out there and educating everybody out there on prostate cancer is our special guest, Mr. Freddie Muse. Freddie, I'm so glad you're on the show today, man. Thank you so much.
You know, thank you so much for having me, Eddie. It's a pleasure. It's a dream of mine to inform men, educate men about this issue, because they are unaware. And I'm actually proud when I talk to some men, and they are getting screened. They have been getting screened. They've been doing it ongoing, and that's absolutely wonderful. But the majority of our men are not getting screened. And your donations will help us reach communities where men will never hear this information or this awareness information. So
now, Freddie, haven't you guys had an event where they bring out the van and they do the tests and all that stuff? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. That's the prostate cancer screening. Typically, there's one held every year at Trinity Baptist Church here in L.A., and we are proud community partners for that event. We are also working on having the mobile unit come out to our church, the Bryan Temple AME, to provide the prostate cancer screenings. And we'd like to also reach out to other black churches, because the primary issue here is African-American men. That's our main target, because we as African-American men are at higher risk, Eddie. We are at 2.3% higher risk than other ethnic groups. We are dying 2.6% more than other ethnic groups. And that's intolerable. We think it's unnecessary.
I got to ask you, where do you get your statistics from? And if people want to go and look at these statistics, where do you get them from, and how do you go and look at these statistics?
Okay. I, like everyone else, I surf the web. We have associations with some cancer organizations, like the American Cancer Society, Cancer.net, the FIN organization, just to name a few, Eddie. And the Advanced Radiation Center of Beverly Hills has a lengthy website with all of this information there that people can go to. I'll list those on the website today, so that the men listening today, if they want to visit our website, if they care to visit our website, they can have this information. So that's how I'm informed. I have on my board, we have about seven doctors. I'm talking about urologists and oncologists, and these are cancer doctors who work with, and we are extremely blessed to have doctors from both of the major universities here in Los Angeles, USC, the Norris Cancer Center, and UCLA, the David Geffen School of Medicine over at UCLA.
Now, Freddie, I hope at some point that you wrote down Ms. Wena Holt's information so that you can kind of partner with her, and she said she needs some doctors on her board, so maybe you can educate her on how to get a few doctors on our board. And I know that you have worked with different organizations and partnered with different organizations. Did you work with Antoinette Greer on a project?
I have. In fact, we were trying to put together another organization, which is uniting all of the cancer organizations together, about seven of them together.
What's the name of her organization? I forgot the name.
Antoinette Greer's organization is My Sister, My Friend Breast Cancer Organization.
Yes, My Sister, My Friend Breast Cancer Organization, yes. And, you know, Freddie, I'm so proud of the – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to say she's a colleague of mine. And again, we were trying to also the Green Foundation, saving the tatas and turning shoes pink organizations. We were all trying to get together to form another organization that we can all unite and share information. And we're still working on that, Eddie.
You know, it's good to have, like, you know, like how they have every year these big events at the convention center. It would be good to rent out the convention center and invite all the cancer groups there and just have all kinds of information for people to come in once a year. Do you guys see yourselves ever doing something on an enormous line like that? Well, do you think you guys could do that?
Well, it's funny that you mention that, Eddie, because right now I have a call out to any and all cancer organizations to come, especially prostate cancer organizations, because, again, September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. And I am an advocate for men's health awareness and prevention, of course. Of course, you know that. So my call now is to unite all of these organizations together to raise the level of prostate cancer awareness. You'll see that on our Facebook page and on our website. The call is out right now for any hospital or organization is treating or working with men with prostate cancer. We invite you to join our benefit rally for next month, the awareness rally for next month. Let's all come together and shout about
now, can you give them the date of the awareness rally that's coming up? Give us the date and the time again and where it's at. Go ahead. Go over that one more time.
I will. Thank you. Okay. The Prostate Cancer Awareness Rally and Benefit Concert, which is a fundraising event, will be held on Saturday, September 20th 2014 at the Barbara Morrison Performing Arts Center. That's in the Murray Park. 4305 Degnan Avenue, Degnan Boulevard, excuse me, Suite 101, Los Angeles, California, 9008. Of course, that information is on our website and our Facebook page. Tickets can be purchased from Coffee City on Crenshaw Boulevard. I think it's 3818 West Crenshaw Boulevard. And also at Heaven Sent Business Services, which is also on Crenshaw Boulevard, Crenshaw and Jefferson.
Okay. And Freddie, you know I got to ask you, man.
Yes, sir.
Do you go and visit the sick and shut-in of prostate cancer people who have prostate cancer? Do you go and visit them at the hospital? Do you go with them to their appointments? How does that work? Do you do that?
Okay. Yes, we do, Eddie. Yes, we do. If when you go to our website, when you go to our click on the calendar of events link, you'll see that's one of our activities. We do home and hospital visits for men that are in treatment, have been newly diagnosed, and need information. And if a man is, we sit with them through treatments. If a man is having prostatectomy or the prostate cancer surgery, we'll sit with them and the families during that time. If a man requires fellowship with while he's doing radiation, we're willing to go and sit with them for any of their treatments, Eddie. We pray with our men. We have two ordained reverends, ministers, who will travel and visit with us, with the men and their families, and lead them in prayer. One of the things I want to mention, Eddie, is that it's great to have a positive mental attitude when you're dealing with cancer. That's a healing in itself. You know, you should not be depressed, angry, and have a negative attitude about it, because that's going to affect your treatment. It's going to affect your outcome.
Yeah.
So we want men to have a positive mental attitude about it, because here's the thing: if you're diagnosed with cancer, okay, it's not going to kill you today, tonight, this week, or this month. So you have time to work with us and your doctors to determine a treatment that is good for you. We can help you make that decision by sitting with you, a one-on-one consultation that will help you understand the treatment options and to help you choose the one that's going to work best for you and your family. Your family's, of course, prostate cancer is a family affair, Eddie. So a man is not going through this alone. If there's a wife and kids, and particularly for a man with kids, listen, guys, hit your screens, guys, because I want to tell you, you don't want another man raising your children. You don't want another man in your home. You don't want another man in your car.
Okay, are you coming in kind of broken up there, Freddie. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, I can hear you fine, Eddie.
Okay, good. And so, Freddie, we're counting down now, and I'm about to, before I count down, could you give us your closing remarks on how you feel about what we've talked about here? We talked about healing. We talked about remission. We talked about the radiation treatment. We talked about the surgery. We covered quite a large area of talking about this prostate cancer. But the most important thing is, you know, the cure. In your closing remarks, Brother Freddie, what do you want the public to know out there about prostate cancer and fighting for the cure?
Okay. So first thing, Eddie, again, there is no cure. Millions of dollars are being spent on research, but at this point, Eddie, there's still no cure for prostate cancer or any diseases today. So the thing is, we have to fight for our lives. When you've been diagnosed with cancer, any kind of cancer, specifically today we're talking about prostate cancer and ovarian cancer. So when you're diagnosed with cancer, that's your fight. And we want you to win the fight. We want you to win this fight. You can do it. We've done it. I've done it. Other men have done it. There are more than 20 million cancer survivors around the country. So it can be done. You can win this fight against cancer. You can kick cancer's butt. You can do this. But you have to be proactive. Each man, we advise you to, you got to be more proactive about your own health. You got to get screened. You got to follow the next steps if cancer is determined or found through your screenings. It's early, it'll be detected early. You'll have a 95% to 99% chance of beating it if it's detected early this way. Please don't wait until you're hurting so bad that you have to go to the doctor, because then you'll end up with a date as opposed to an option for treatement. We don't want you to do that. Come talk to us. Come talk. My cancer support group meets on the fourth Saturday of every single month at the Fellowship Hall of my church, Brian Temple AME, which is on the corner of 4th Avenue and Brennan in Los Angeles in the Murray Park area.
Now, Freddie, okay. I want to thank you so much for coming on, man. You've been very informative. I'm sure that people have, they did not fall on deaf ears. I'm sure it raised some awareness today. You probably have shocked a lot of people with this very positive and productive information, because a lot of people probably didn't know half of what you shared today about prostate cancer. Man, I can't thank you enough, man. And as we count down, hopefully we'll be touching bases in the near future. I look forward to being at the event. I look forward to supporting, continuing to support the Men's Cancer Network and continuing to support you, Freddie, as well.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Daddy. I appreciate that much. Again, visit our website, www.themenscancernetwork.com, or our Facebook page, the Men's Cancer Network, Inc. on Facebook. Our information is there. It's there to enlighten, inform, and educate you, the men, about this disease. Ladies, we ask for you to please also take a look, because sometimes the men just won't get it from us. But if you can have a conversation with them, because you're getting screened, let them know how important it is for them to get screened as well. Brother Eddie, I thank you for your time. I thank you for having us on today. Please let Ms. Holt know that I want to support her and her organization and her awareness on ovarian cancer. I love what she said this morning, that BRCA gene is powerful, it's important, it's vital, it's in a lot of people. If you have it, get yourself screened so you can know and educated so you can know how to better defend yourself against this powerful disease.
Well, Brother Freddie, I'll be reaching out to you real soon. Thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio, and I'll be talking to you real soon, man. I'm going to cancel out now so I can give some closing remarks, man. God bless you, Brother Freddie.
Thank you, brother. Same to you.
All right. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again for having me. And God bless
you. You're
everyone.
Welcome, brother. God bless.
All righty.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Well, Everybody out there, I hope you had your pencil and your paper out today. I hope you were able to listen to this very important and pertinent information. I want you to continue to pray for the Michael Brown family. I want you to pray for all the uprising and all the powerful stuff that's going on all over the place. I want you to pray about what's happening around everywhere. Just continue to pray about it, because that's what's really important. It looks like I have a caller. Let's see if I have a caller here. Let's see what's going on. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there? Okay. Hello? Okay. So I thought we had a caller there, but for some reason, the callers aren't being able to say anything. I don't know what's going on today. But let me close you out with this song. Look, I love everybody out there. God bless you. Keep up the wonderful work in whatever you're doing. And remember, education is everything, whether it's ovarian cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, brain cancer. We need to stay up on it and educated. And to all my sisters and brothers out there, wherever you are, don't be afraid to go to the doctor and get checked up, because that one checkup could make the difference in your whole life. Let me leave you out with something like this called, it's Angie Stone, and it's called Brother. And until we meet again, which will be next Monday, and we'll have another hot topic that we'll be discussing. Thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio. I want to give a shout-out to, like I said, my Dorsey Dons, my friends out there in the gardens, my friends out in Vegas, my friends across the United States of America, and all my friends abroad, especially in Australia and Germany and Africa. All right, God bless you guys. Peace. Check this out.
Is my king, is my one, yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son, so I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through, and everything I am, he's my support system, can't live without him, the best thing since sliced bread, is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch, and I just want the whole world to know about my life.
All right, this is Eddie Jones on Eddie Jones Talk Show. Caller, are you there?
Yes. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing? Jay, this is Jay?
Yes, it is.
All right, man. Hey, what's on your mind, Jay? We have 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, man, what you're doing is great, man. I mean, giving everybody about letting them know about cancer, I mean, on every level, because this show here, I see that what you're doing is very good because everyone needs to know all the information that you've given because this information is very, very vital. And we thank you, Eddie, for what you're doing. I appreciate everything that you're doing. Keep up the good work. Please don't stop.
Man, Jay, I want to thank you too, man, for not only chiming in and sharing your opinion, but also for being a wonderful, wonderful friend and a long-time friend. I have 90 seconds to go, man, so, you know, next week we're going to have a great show, and I hope you get a chance to call back in again. And man, thank you for your support, and God bless you and your family, man. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Yeah, just keep up the good work, Eddie, because everybody needs this information, and everything that you're doing, keep it up because it's good.
All right, man. Well, look, Jay, thank you for calling in, man, and God bless you, man. And I'm going to leave him a little bit with this song on the way out. So you take care, man, and God bless you, man.
You too.
All right, this is the Eddie Jones Talk Show. This is the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio, and the best is yet to come. God bless you all. Check this out.
Is my king, is my one, yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son, so I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through and everything I am. My support system, can't live without him. The best thing since sliced bread is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch. And I just want the whole world to know about my black brother. I love you and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that here for you forever true, cause you're my black brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever true. He's misunderstood, some say that he's up to no good, around the neighborhood, for your information, a lot of my brothers got education. Now check it, you got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother, you're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother, talented brother, and to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you. But my black brother, I love you, I'll never try to no, hurt you. No, no, no. For you.